Well, even though we have a few of us, we still have that opportunity to have the Spirit to be with us as we've come together and to be able to hear the Word of God spoken tonight. So I ask and pray that you prepare your hearts and mind as my brother, Brother Hubert, would offer us those things in which God has led him to speak to us tonight. Brother Hubert.
Thank you, Gordon. Some of the things that I had on my mind, my brother covered this morning in a way. However, what I thought I'd bring out is some of the things that he did in a way. I want to talk to you about just what we sang, that you never be discouraged. You know, I know as we look at the world and we recognize and read the prophecies and one thing and another, we realize the time we're living in. A time that the Scripture says that the people's hearts will fail them and that they'd have trouble. And, you know, I think it's important that we realize that whatever happens in this old world, whatever takes place, that God is capable of setting His hand upon His children and blessing them. And the Scripture tells us He's going to do that. At least as a whole, they're going to be taken care of. He's going to bless them. If they're living for that time, if they're living for the life of Christ. And there's something there that's a very important that I want to bring out. And we just got through singing here that we should never be discouraged, trust the Father's word. And you know, that's what it's all about. That Father's word is the rod of iron that goes to the tree of life. And over the generations of time, people didn't trust it, and today they don't trust it. And today they alter and change it to suit their pleasure, delete from it whatever it is that they decide they need to do so that they can live their life and go on about their business, and they want to... They want to form God in their likeness rather than coming to the realization that we're formed in His likeness. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be formed like Christ said when they said, well, you know, what kind of man should I be? And He says, even as I am. That's how we're to be. We have to be able to yield and submit our will to God. We have to be willing to follow those things that He has caused to be written to edify us so that we would know of the things that's going to take place. And that's very important. It's very important. You know, this morning on page 287 in your songbook, we sang a song that is really a neat song. It says, we have an anchor. And you know, I want to bring to your attention, we have an anchor. And that anchor keeps our soul if that anchor is of Christ. If the anchor is the proper type of anchor, not one that's been created by a man, but the one that has been created by the Lord. We have an anchor to keep our soul. My brother talked about there today about a rough sea. You know, I've been in a rough sea to the point where the ship that I was on would go clear under the water with the swells and the waves coming over the top of it that you thought was a submarine. And it would finally work its way back up the top like this. Like you turned a balloon loose in a swimming pool or whatever it is, and it finally come up the top. That's the way we come up to the top, and it just tore off everything we had, ripped the main gun mount right out of the ship, tore off all the stacks and all the safety boats, all the lifeboats, it tore it all to pieces. We couldn't radio out. We couldn't do anything. They thought we were sunk. We did two or three times. And we finally crippled into a bay. And we broke part of those waves and things, and then we had to drop two anchors to try to hold steady and kept the engines working just a little bit to be able to stay there. And you know, it's something that you have to understand, that God has provided an anchor that is stable and strong. And you don't have to take two of them. The one that he has provided is just one, and that's all you need if you're following after the gospel of Christ. If you aren't following after the gospel of Christ, you better carry a whole bunch more of them, and they probably aren't going to work anyway. That the whole thing is that we have to go and we have to, he says, will your anchor hold in the storm of life? And you have to ask yourself, are you living the life that your anchor, your spiritual anchor, is it going to hold against the wiles of the adversary and your enemy to your soul? Is it going to hold or is it going to yield? Are you going to be able to hold fast or are you going to drift out again in the stream of the waves and the torment and the things that come upon the children of men? Are we going to do that? How important it is that we hold fast to that rock, that we hold fast to that anchor, and that we keep it, and it's strong. And, you know, he says it's grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love, and how true that is. He has provided the doctrine, or has provided the gospel. He has provided the way for you and I to be able to live and to walk, that we can come and live with him. He has provided that way. And he has caused it to be written, like Peter said, by holy men who were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost to edify us so that we would know and recognize the path wherein we should walk. And that we would recognize that we have that security, we have that safety that comes through God, that anchor, that Christ. We have that safety that we have a right to use and to have part in our life continually. And so I want to talk on some of that tonight. I want to tell you that the gospel of Christ always has been positive. Now, some of you might say, well, boy, it's not very possible. He talked about casting them down to hell, and they're tormented day and night and all this and that. But it's positive because he has warned us. He's not sneaking up behind us. He's not hiding behind the hedge. He has warned us. He has warned us to what he expects of us and what he expects of his people. It's not something that is just going to sneak up on us, because he has caused his holy men to write over the generations of time and say, don't do this, because if you do this, unless you repent, you're in trouble. Bad trouble. And so his message to us has always been positive, because he has warned us of the pitfalls and what they look like and how we can overcome them. By resisting the evil one, our enemy to our soul, where we can resist Satan, where we can walk in a manner that would be pleasing to him, and how that he is a master deceiver, and he says he's even the father of lies. So that we know that father of lies is here to deceive us and to draw us away from the Lord and to take us someplace where we certainly don't want to go. And how important that is. And that each one of us has to travel the same sea, whether it's rough or whether it's calm. We have to travel the same sea. And our protection is going to be the same anchor, even Jesus Christ, to anchor our soul. That's just exactly what it is. It'll have to be the same. It can't be altered and changed and overhauled and everything and cut one of the flukes off of it where it don't hold good or whatever the case may be, or the chain isn't going to break. The power of Christ is there. And it will continue to be there. And the message of God from the creation of man has been that of a joy and that of a satisfying of the souls of men. If we will obey and if we look at it, if we will study it, if we will seek it, it's a thing of joy. It's a thing of joy. And you know, I think about these things and I think about how wonderful it is that we have an opportunity to come together here tonight and to meet one with another. That's a joy. That's a happiness that comes to be able to meet with brothers and sisters of like faith, to meet with those who have a desire to know and to do what the Lord would have them to do. And you know, it's something that it gets in your heart and you can't get it out. And you know, my brother announced about Jean Brantner. You know, I worked with her up on the Sioux Reservation, and her husband, Jim, and I did, and Leroy Wheaton. And you know, she was a beautiful sister. A beautiful sister. A spiritual sister. One that if you ever worked with her, why, you'd never forget her. She was very sweet. And it gives us an opportunity to come and to learn and to feel the sweetness and the love of one another as we come together. To come to hear the word of the Lord. To come to be renewed in His thoughts. That we might renew our thoughts and to set them upon our Lord. And to recognize how beautiful He is. And to recognize that His love is mighty. Even in our sin, there's not a one within the sound of my voice here today that He doesn't love, because you are His children. You're His child. Or you might not want to be, you might want to rebel, you might want to do a lot of things, but you're His child. He created you. He breathed the breath of life in you. That's where your life came from. It's from the Lord. And in doing that, He's provided a way, a path for us to travel that we might come and live with Him and His Father. And it's not a maybe or, well, maybe so, or you know, just it's a little sip here and a little sip there, you know, and a little bit here and a little bit there. No, it's a promise. It's a promise that if we do the things that He tells us to do and not do the things He tells us not to do, that we have a right to come and to live with Him and His Father. And His promises are sure and true. There's no guesswork on it. I'm going to go over page 407. That's the Alma, the 15th chapter. And I'm going to read the 49th through the 63rd verses. Are you with me, Debbie? Okay, honey. I'm going to start there in the 49th verse. He says, while many thousands of others truly mourn for the loss of their kindred, yet they rejoice and exult in the hope, yea, and even know according to the promises of the Lord that they are raised to dwell at the right hand of God in the state of never-ending happiness. That's quite a statement there, isn't it? A never-ending happiness. That's something to think about. And thus we see how great the inequality of man is because of sin and transgression and the power of the devil, which comes by the cunning plans which he hath devised to ensnare the hearts of the children of men. Do you think this fellow here that I just read about, you don't think he's active today? Don't ever make a mistake that he's not here to ensnare your heart right now. And he will be until the day that the Lord calls you home. He's there. He's going to be a constant enemy. It's going to be a constant battle. When you were born and when you reach the age of accountability, when you could know right from wrong, it begins a constant battle that you resist this individual and accept the Lord. It's a constant battle. And thus we see the great call of the diligence of men to labor in the vineyards of the Lord. And thus we see the great reason of sorrow and also of rejoicing. Sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life. That we have a joy. We see, yes, we have a sorrow. We see people fall away. We see people that won't accept the gospel of Christ. We see people that want to go their own way and do their own thing. And it is sorrow, especially when you know he is. And you can't convince them. And he gave them their own free agency, and they can do as they please and go as they please. And they can either reject the Lord or they can accept him. They can receive him and allow him to take part in their life. And they can open up their heart and let him do the direction. And their thoughts and the desires be his, not of their own. And of the things of the world. Because the world always has frills out there for you. But so does the Lord. He has the frills of eternal life. From all eternity to all eternity. That's what he offers. He offers eternal life from all eternity to all eternity. So he doesn't just go and say, well, the only one that's offering something is the devil and the praise of the world and one thing and another. He has offered eternal life to you and I. And he laid down his life and was crucified so that we would have that opportunity to live our life, that we could come back unto our Father in heaven. He laid down his life. He suffered. You know, sometimes when you sit down and you think about that, you know, it's really hard. It's hard when you think of the suffering that our Lord took even before he was hung on the cross. They whipped him. They beat him. You know, he was really suffered and died, like the scripture said. And he did that for you and I. He did that for you and me. He suffered and died for you and me. And that's something that sometimes we forget, that he gave his life for us the hard way. Let's go a little further. Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth, and cry repentance unto every people. Yea, I would declare unto every soul, as with the voice of thunder, repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon the face of the earth. You know, my brother here was saying that he read on the email there about our sister that passed away, and I read it last night, and it said that her family was there, and they were all there, and said she passed away easy and very peaceful. You know, that's not an impossibility. especially when they're suffering and they're having a hard time, and you know that God has provided a place for her to rest. And you know that's something that, what a joy it is. He didn't just leave us hanging in the air. He has provided for us those things that's essential for us to know, that he has provided a place for us. Now, yeah, our place now is here. Yeah. And to be an example, to be like he said, you know, that so the world would know that he has the children. Remember over there in the 20th chapter of Ezekiel, where he got after the house of Israel because they wouldn't honor his Sabbath. And he was saying, you know, that how terrible that was, because they were living among the heathen. And he says he wanted the heathen to know that he had a people, but they wouldn't even honor his Sabbath and they wouldn't walk his way. And you know, I've thought about that a lot of times. How about us? How about you? How about me? You and I are living to what the world would call heathen. We're living to all kinds, and we rub elbows with them at school, at work, at play, at the grocery store, everywhere we go. Would they know that we believe Christ? Would they know that we're a part of his wife on this earth? Would they know that? Would they recognize that there's something different about us? That we're not like the norm? That we have separated ourselves from those things, and that we walk in a different pattern and in a different way, and have a different measuring stick to measure our life and the things that is required of us and what we want. Would they know that? Would they see that he has a people, a children here below? Would they be able to recognize that? You know, this is important. This is our heritage. Our heritage as the bride of Christ is to live the life that would draw souls unto us, that they would know what it is. What? How come they're so happy? How come they have that peace? How come that they carry a love? How come they have the power to forgive and to go about and their unity, and they enjoy one another and they do those things? How come? When the rest of the world is fighting and stealing and lying and doing all kinds of stuff and killing, but this people isn't doing that. How important is that? That's real important. That's real important. You know, we have our sisters back from Africa. What do you think that the people in Africa would have thought if they went to one of the villages there and Dwayne and Brian got in a fight? Do you think that that would further the cause of Christ? You know, our actions, we have to know that our action has a lot. It's not just enough to say, I know, and yeah, I've read, but it's the doer of the word that's important. It's the doer of the word that's important. People see. People see how you and I order our lives. They see what we do. They see what you say. They see what kind of language you're going to use. They see what's going on. Don't ever think that they don't. You might be with somebody for 5 years, and if you use profanity, they'll say, oh, boy, did you hear that? Because the world watches. Especially if you testify that you believe in the Lord. The world, wherever you're at, they're watching you to see what you do. They're watching you at work to see if you're stealing something. They're watching you at work to see what you're doing. They're watching you to see if they can catch you in something. And those are the things that the Lord has pre-warned us about. He doesn't want them to be able to catch us. He wants us to live the life that they can't catch like that, that they would see that his wife has done like the scripture says, that her garments are white and have made herself ready. And those garments are the righteousness of the saints. That those garments are white and beautiful. And that our life, your words, your language, the things that you do, wouldn't put a blotch on that pure white garment that his wife wears. But it would be something that would be proper and right. And that's something that each of us has to do. That's something you have to do yourself. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. We each have to make up our mind who we're going to serve. That's what the Lord says. Choose you this day whom ye shall serve. Are we choosing? He says, take up your cross daily and come and follow me. Are we? Do we miss a few days in carrying that cross, or a week at a time, or what do? Do we take up our cross daily and go and follow him? I can't answer that for you. You have to answer those things for yourself. Each one of us has to answer whether we want to carry that cross. And if we don't think that we have the strength to carry the cross, petition our Father in heaven. Visit with him and he'll help you. That's a promise. He'll help us to carry that. I want to go on here. 54th verse. And behold, I am a man, and I do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me. I not ought to hollow up in my desires the firm decree of a just God, for I know that he granteth unto men according to their desires. What is our desires? What's yours? He grants unto you according to your desires. What is your desire? Whether it be unto death or unto life. Yea, I know that he allotteth unto men, yea, decreeth unto them decrees which are unalterable according to their wills, whether they be unto salvation or unto destruction. That it's according to our will, whether it be unto salvation or destruction. Do you ever think about that when you get up in the morning? That my actions today, my thoughts today, is going to have to do whether it's going to be for my salvation or my destruction? Do we ever think about that? You know, we sing a song, you know, ere you left this morning, your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you pray that thoughts of destruction or the way of destruction wouldn't be in your life that day? That you're carrying the cross for the Lord and setting an example so the world would know he has the children here below? Is that what we would have? Yea, and I know that good and evil hath come before all men, or he that knoweth not good from evil is blameless. If they don't know and they don't know the gospel, they're blameless. But he that knoweth good and evil, to him it is given according to his desires. Whether he desire good or evil, life or death, joy or remorse of conscience. And seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work to which I have been called? Now, if you remember rightly, it's important that we perform the work in which we were called. Each one of us that are here that has heard that call, we have a light that we're to keep burning. We have a light that we are to fuel it, to put the fuel of that light in by righteousness, that light has a real bright candle power so the world can see it. Not something real dim that they'd look and say, is that a light up there? But they could see it with great power. They could recognize it. Those of us that have traveled across this country, when you're traveling at nighttime, you see a city. And you think, oh boy, it's right there. And you travel 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 before you get there, don't you? That the light of Christ, its rays, reaches out across the world to bear a witness and to bear a light for those that are lost, for those who are seeking, for those who ask, for those who want to know. That light is there. That's why the Lord says that you and I are supposed to bear a light. He says it will glorify our Father which is in heaven. How important that is, that we have that light, that we bear that light, that people can see that we believe. You don't have to come and say, you know, I don't heard, you know, you do you believe? You're sort of different. We're supposed to be different than the world. We're supposed to be different than the world. And people say, well, you know, you're not very many people. How many people you got in that Church of Christ? Show me in the Scriptures. Either the Bible or the Book of Mormon, where the Church of Christ was the multitude. No. Ordinarily, according to the peoples that were there, they were nothing but a small group of people that had a desire to follow the Lord. They wasn't the multitude. The Lord said, you know, when this time comes, he says, broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the way to life. And he says, few there be that shall find it. He didn't say the world was going to take it and the multitude. He says, few there be that shall find it. And you might say, well, you know, that's, you know, gosh, what is there, 7 billion people in the world? How many, that 7 billion, is it? Something like that, seven billion people in the world. Well, you know, you could have several million people in the body of Christ. But they would be small according to those of the world. It's important that we realize that. And it's important that we have a work to do. We have a work to do. We have a work to reach out to those who will listen and those who will receive the gospel of Christ. Those of us that's been in the field, you go out in the field, you find that some will receive the gospel of Christ and some of them won't. Isn't that right, Ken? Don't make any difference what you want to do. They won't receive it. Others, they'll receive it. Others will receive it. And you know, you run into that wherever you're at. And wherever you're at, you might... somebody that you're working with or whoever it might be, you know, you might touch them and they might say, well, hey, I want to know what it is that you have. How come you're so happy all the time? How come you're not down in the dumps? How come you got a hope? How come you have a joy? You know, that's something that you can see. Do you ever see somebody, you know, you learned a long time ago when you're handling animals and when you're handling horses, you know, if you go out in a corral and you want to catch a horse out in a corral, you don't go out there and say, whoa, whoa. They're going to run clear to the far end. Good morning, Marlene. They're going to go clear to the far end. But they can tell by your voice when you walk in there and say, hello, boy. Woo now. You visit with them very gentle. That's how you carry the gospel of Christ. You carry it with that love and you carry it with that gentleness, that they can see the power of that love of Christ, that they can witness it. They can see those things. And you know, even sometimes when you got a horse that's going to buck, Jim, you got a horse that's going to buck. How many times have you got on and you visited with him real easy and talked him out of it? You bet. A lot of times you can talk them out of bucking. They won't buck. Boy, they're getting all ready. You can feel them. Boy, they're ready to go. And you just visit with them real easy and be real gentle with them and everything. You can't take the gospel of Christ and jam it down their throat. They have to be like a birling. They have to open up their mouth and they want to be fed. But you have to feed them with love and with compassion and with tender mercy and with gentleness. You can't feed people about you and just jam it down the throat and say, here it is, now you're going to take that or else. No, it doesn't work that way. But it works when you do it in the proper way. That's the way it works. And it doesn't even work with all of them. I've tried to talk some of them out of it in times past, and they just buck all over the place. You know, and sometimes you can talk and talk and talk to people, and they're going to rebel, and they're not going to receive, and they're going to find every reason in the world why they're not going to do that, and why they're not going to listen, and they're not going to believe. They find all kinds of stuff that they don't want to hear, because their heart's someplace else. And it's important that we realize that. 57. Now seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work to which I have been called? And you know, that's something that we got to understand, is to perform the work in which we've been called. A lot of people are lazy. They don't want to perform the work. They're satisfied to sit around. They're satisfied not to work. They're satisfied not to reach out. They're not satisfied not to tell a neighbor if the neighbor asks. But we have a job. And everyone, all you sisters and all of us here tonight, have a job. He says that you got to be ready to tell anybody why you have the hope that's within you. Can you do it? Can you tell them why you believe in the Church of Christ? Can you tell them why you believe in the Lord? Can you tell them why you believe in the resurrection? Can you tell them why you believe that there's a spirit that lives in this old house that you see? Can you tell them that? Can you talk to them and visit with them about it? You know, that's important. That's important. You know, she's a teacher. Okay? Now, when she goes to her classroom and she says she's going to teach math, and she can't even teach it, she don't know what 2 and 2 is, or what you do on the other side of the equal sign, or how is she going to teach that? How is she going to teach the class if she don't know it? You have to know it yourself if you're going to teach it. Don't you? It's important. It's important for us to learn the gospel of Christ. It's important for us to learn those things. So if we're asked, or if we have an opportunity, whether we're asked or not, we can tell them of the hope that we have within us. How important that is. 58th verse. Why should I desire that I was an angel, that I could speak unto all the ends of the earth? For behold, the Lord doeth grant unto all nations of their own nation and tongue to teach the word, yea, in wisdom, all that he seeth fit, that they should have. Therefore, we see that the Lord doth counsel in wisdom according to that which is just and true. You know, they just come back from Africa. You know, there's elders and ministry over there that teach that language, isn't there, Kathy? You know, we just had an evangelist called, another ministry called in the Philippines that speak their language. We have brothers called in Mexico that speak that language so that they could be taught, so they could understand. Now, I couldn't speak that language when I was down there when I was in Africa with with Buzz. Why, I had an interpreter. And the brother Moses had interpreted for me. Of course, he was an elder and he was a mighty man. He was a mighty man. And you know, when we went from Kenya over into Tanzania, and when we come back, why, of course, you go through all the kind of nonsense there to go through the border, don't you, Kath? And the guy was questioning me, questioning, you know, and he's looking at my passport, and he didn't know whether he wanted to stamp it or not, and you know, one thing and another, and Brother Moses come in, he walked over, and I was sitting there, and he hit me on the arm like that and walked on, you know, and the guy looked at me, and he says, "You know him?" And I said, "Yes." "You do?" And I said, "Yes, I've been with him now for quite a while." Boy, he grabbed that and he stamped my passport and handed it to me. He says, "That's a good man." And indeed he is. But he recognized it. He recognized it. Just that quick and just that simple, he recognized it and stamped my passport so I could go on. And you know, that's important that when we're out and around, they can say, "That's a good woman. That's a good man. That's a good young fella. That's a good young lady." That's, you know, it's good that the world would recognize us as being someone that is living the life of the Lord, that is endeavoring to apply those things to our life continually. That's the important part of that. I got to move along here, don't I? You know, he tells us that I'm not going to read it, but in Helaman and the second chapter in the 70th to the 75th verse, he talks about building upon the rock. That rock is Christ. That our life is to be built on the rock. How important it is. That's the stable foundation. That's the anchor that keeps the soul. That's the anchor that holds fast against all of the storms of Satan and all his fiery ways. That's what holds us stable, is to be built on that rock, on Christ. And how important it is. And how important it is that we realize that you know, we've got to keep alert and awake. If we don't, why, he sneaks up on us. He does hide behind a hedge, and he sneaks up on you. You know, when I was down in Yucatan with Don, and there's some I imagine Marlene and Ken and Betty and some of us here that's been, you know, I was down to Yucatan, and we went into Quintana Roo. And at that time, it was a territory. It wasn't a state like it is now. And we went to a brother's home there, Brother Vicente, and we went to his home, and we got there, and they have a well out by the place there. And it was probably about 35, 40 feet deep, and they had a bucket and a rope and a pulley on there, and you drop the bucket down and you pull it up and you look at it, and that water was so cold that bucket was frosty. And you look into that water and it's just as clear as a bell. And we drank some of that water, and boy, it wasn't long that we were sick. That water was polluted. It looked good. Boy, it looked good. We didn't see anything floating in it. It looked good. It was just as clear as a bell. But boy, there was stuff in there that made you sick. Real sick. Now, that water was a lot different than what you got in Africa, because they dip the water there and it's brown, isn't it? Yeah. But, you know, when you look at those things, you know, it's something that you have to keep alert and awake. Because, you know, it's the Lord that says, you know, that you don't get a good water or a bad water out of the same well. If you drop a bucket down there, you know, there was no way that we could have dumped that water out and taken another bucket of water and drank it and been fine, because the well was polluted. The well was polluted. And so you don't get a salt water or a fresh water out of the same well. It don't do that. You don't work that. It doesn't work that way. And that's your life and that's mine. We can't live an ungodly life and think that we got water that's sufficient for people to drink. That's our life. If we want what we put out to help and to be an example, what we put out has to be that which would be all right for someone to partake of. If we're dragging out the bucket and we look in there and there's a dead rat floating around in there and this and that, one thing and another, you wouldn't want to drink it. If you're going to talk to somebody about the gospel of Christ and you're running, you can't run something down and build it up. You can't run the church and the people down and build it up. You can't run it down and build it up at the same time. It don't work. It doesn't work. If you're going to build it up, it has to be built up. If you're trying to tear it down, you're working at it the opposite way. It don't go together. It doesn't go together. The gospel of Christ doesn't go with the gospel of Satan. They don't go together. There is an absolute difference between daylight and dark. An absolute difference. Between daylight and dark, whether we want to say it or not. Oh, we got flashlights and we got all kinds of lights, you know, that we can turn on for the dark. But turn them off and see what happens. You can't see. It's important that we realize that our example that we set is so important, not only for us. The example I set is important for me. The example you set is important for you. Because those examples that we set in our action, we're going to be judged by our Lord. And we can't hide from Him. We can't hide from Him. There's no way. I don't care if you're down in a coal mine, a mile down or wherever you're at, you don't hide from the Lord. He knows your thoughts. He knows your actions. He knows what you're saying. He knows just exactly what's going on. You're not fooling Him one bit. That's why it's important that we come to the gospel of Christ and lay hold to it and try to obey Him. Jonah didn't. He had to be swallowed by a whale before he decided to obey. Do we have to be swallowed by the world before we decide that we better obey the law of God? It might be too late. Maybe we won't be spit out on the ground. It's important that we in this period of time know that He has an anchor. That anchor is in His gospel, in His holy word. That anchor is that rod of iron that goes to the tree of life. It's not bent. It don't go all the different corners and everything and go down and get lost and then finally come back. It's a straight course. And that's the gospel of Christ, a straight course to eternal life. And that's why it's important that we continue to go and to follow after him. We have to have ears. You know, I'm not going to turn over to it, but over there in the 12th chapter of the second book of Nephi, he tells you over there that the people that were doing things and one thing and another, and he said that the blood of the saints are going to cry out of the ground against you. And I've thought about that a lot of times. Does the blood of the saints have to cry out of the ground against me? Is my actions, is the manner that would cause the blood of the saints to cry out against me? Where am I and what am I doing? And another thing is, what am I capable of doing? Can I do a greater work for the Lord? Is there more things that we could do? Could we be more alert and awake at the opportunity to talk to someone about the Lord and the hope that we have within us? Or we think, oh, I don't want to say anything to them. They'll probably get all riled up and get mad. I got to work with them tomorrow. And I know there's a lot of places where you work, you can't do those things. And I understand that. And you know what? I was lucky because when I was at work at Salt River Power, I held a Sunday school class at lunch. You know, you never know. You never know where the Lord is going to touch the heart and cause a spark of life and have a desire to listen and to know and to seek the truth. You never know. But I do know one thing. I know that we're responsible. We are responsible for what we do, and especially because we're of the body of Christ. You know, we've got to keep in mind that wherever we're at, wherever you're at, wherever I'm at, I'm part of the wife of Christ. I'm part of the wife of Christ. I'm part of that. And he expects a lot of us. And you know how important it is to know that his message is a positive message. His message is a message to eternal life. His message is a message that says, the goal that I have set for you, he says, that goal that I set for you, he says, is eternal life with me and my son. That's quite a goal, isn't it? That's a lot better than the frills of the world, because it doesn't last. This world is going to be destroyed. Those frills that you have in the world and what you gather in the world, they're not going to be there. Like I said before, I've preached a lot of funeral services, and I've got my first time to see anybody take anything with them. They left everything they had behind for people to fight over. That's what happened. They can't take it with them. But you can take what you've stored in your storehouse in the kingdom of heaven. You can take your spiritual life with you, whether it's good or whether it's bad. I'm going to read one scripture because my time's gone. I haven't really gotten going yet. It's in the 13th chapter of the third book of Nephi on page 675. And this is where the disciples were questioning Christ. And there in the fifth verse there in the 13th chapter, he says, "Therefore, what manner of man had ye ought to be?" They ask him, you know, what are we supposed to be here? "Verily I say unto you, even as I am, and now I go unto my Father." He told him, he says, you're supposed to be even as I am. That's one man that graced this earth that kept each of the commandments of his Father in heaven. Every one. That's the one man that entered into the waters of baptism that was whole. He wasn't sinful. But he entered into the waters of baptism to show the way and to set the example. And so it's important that we come to the conclusion that his words and those things is a positive way for the goal of eternal life for each one of us. His strength that we can gather from him through prayer and through asking him for help is a positive way to reach the goal of eternal life. To help us to cleanse our heart and our minds that they might be upon him and be directed by his Holy Spirit. And so my prayer is that we will indeed position ourselves that we will be even as he is. That we will be alert and awake at the responsibility that we have because we here have been called in by the Spirit to be part of that bride. He's called us in. He's touched our hearts. He touched our parents' heart that we might be taught, or those who have learned after that their parents didn't do that. But he has called us here for a purpose. And that purpose was that the world would know that he has children here below. Thank you.